tell us about physical exit and inflation from the IP problem.
Thank you for being here. It's a very nice opportunity. So that's the title of my talk, and as you will see, I will discuss mainly two things. So the outline of the talk is the following. In the first part, I will cover a new model of inflation, let's say, that can give a graceful exit to all inflation. The second part of the talk, I will address the hierarchy problem between the Planck mass and the electroweak scale. So, and everything is coming from the same proposal. And at the end of the talk, I will stress some cosmological constraints coming from this, that this model has to satisfy, and finally some experimental signatures that this model can show. Okay, so let me first go to the motivation. So the motivation is to get inflation from a false vacuum. So this means, the first question that one can ask is why in the standard cosmology the universe is in a zero energy vacuum. Okay, I think nobody has an answer to this question. But we can try to answer a slightly different question. So is it possible that the universe started in a false vacuum and then tunneled to the zero energy vacuum? And we know that if this happens, then it's a process which happens through bubble nucleation. So just to fix a notation, that will be what we have in mind. We are sitting here at the beginning, and then when you sit here, there is some vacuum energy, which I will call lambda to the fourth. And the system has some tunneling probability, and it can go directly here. And I will call the tunneling rate per unit volume, gamma. Okay, that's just to fix the notation. Okay, so now, at the same time, we know that the universe with a large vacuum energy inflates, right? And that was, in fact, the first way to introduce inflation. So that was the idea by Alan Guth in 82. But as he himself realized, then this model doesn't work because all the inflation doesn't have a graceful exit. By graceful exit, we mean an exit to a radiation-dominated phase, which is what we want to reproduce phenomenology. The reason is that the bubble nucleation is not successful in the sense that this bubble do not percolate. I will tell you later better what does it mean. And so historically, this has led to the need for slow roll inflation. Now, what we want to do instead is to go back to old inflation and to see if we can do it without flat potentials, but just with tunneling. So let me stress what is the problem of old inflation. The problem is that there are two requirements. The first requirement is that to have sufficient inflation, the tunneling rate has to be much smaller than the Hubble scale, to the fourth. And the reason is that if it is bigger, then inflation just ends immediately, and you have just one twofold.
You mean H, right?
So gamma is the rate? Gamma is the tunneling rate per unit volume, so I have H to the fourth. Yeah. So instead, for having a successful transition to radiation, this can happen only if gamma is equal to H to the fourth. Otherwise, you just create one bubble in one region of space. This bubble expands exponentially, and you are left with nothing. So what you really need is to produce many bubbles, and these bubbles have to collide. So the picture is inside the Hubble patch, you have to produce a lot of bubbles, and these bubbles have to collide, and the collision produces radiation. This is what you need. So this means that in all the inflation, there are two possibilities. Either the inflation is too short, or it never ends. Now, there is a clear way out to this problem, which is start with gamma much smaller than h to the fourth, and then at some point, gamma equal to h to the fourth or bigger. So when this happens, you will have a collision of bubbles and reheating. So there has been some previous work on this subject, and the first possibility that people have explored is to make H variable during the theta phase. There is, of course, also the possibility of making gamma variable, but we are not going to talk about that. We are just going to talk about making H variable. In order to do that, you have to modify gravity. Now, in fact, the first models in this field were proposed already in the 80s, basically under the name of extended inflation. And they were inflationary models with modified gravity, so basically with Brunswick gravity. I will talk later better about these things, but for the moment, just we notice we stress that this model in its basic formulation had a definite prediction. And the prediction was the spectral index to be smaller than 0.8. And so when the COBE experiment came out, the model was ruled out in its simplest form. Then many other models that I think are quite complicated were proposed to cure this problem. Now, what I claim here is that our model is still as simple as the original extended inflation. So it's a very trivial modification, but it's still viable. So let's go to the proposal. So the proposal is very simple. So as I said, we have a false vacuum energy, and we want to give a graceful exit, and I claim that this is possible in the presence of a minimally coupled scalar field, which means, so I will call this field phi. So phi is not the field which is driving inflation, it's just present there in the background. In some sense, you can say it's a spectator field. So as a starting point, we take this action. We have the usual Einstein-Hilbert term, then a usual kinetic term for the field phi. Then here we have the non-minimal coupling between phi and r. And finally, this false vacuum energy, I will call it lambda to the 4. Of course, this comes from a more fundamental Lagrangian, but we don't need to study all the details of the false vacuum, which is decaying to the true vacuum. We just need to have the value of this parameter.
So this is Brunswick, or is it
there? It's a sort of Brunswick, yeah. I will tell you later what is exactly the difference with extended inflation. But yeah, it can be recast as a Brunswick.
With a constant omega prime.
Yeah, which is related to this beta. Okay, and eventually one can add the potential for this field phi. And to be complete, the Lagrangian with all the standard model particles, so this will be all that we need. One requirement that we do is that we assume this beta to be bigger than zero. Okay. From here, you can see that everything that multiplies r is so the thing which multiplies r is m squared plus beta pi squared. This is always positive, so there are no problems of having a negative black mass or imaginary mass. Now, I want to stress that usually the minimal coupling in inflationary models is set to zero, but this is just for simplicity, because in general, this coupling here is generically present. So one actually has to justify when it is absent. Now, again, for the sake of describing a model, we assume this U to be negligible before the tunneling event. So I introduced U, but for the moment I will not consider it. So the requirement is that the scale of U has to be smaller than lambda to the fourth. So this term is the dominant one. Yes?
Just to be sure, phi is not the amplitude. The amplitude is
no.
The
exactly. Okay. What we call the amplitude is hidden here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's just giving a constant vacuum energy.
But if I go to Einstein frame, then.
I will discuss it later. But in this frame, you have a constant term, which at some point disappears because it tunnels, and this spectator field part. Okay? And the standard model particles, but they don't play any role. Just I wrote them for completeness.
Are you going to constrain data like solar system tests?
We get to this. So you will. So in principle, if this model is true also at late time, you will have constraints on beta. But I will discuss. This is just a starting point, as I said. Then I will discuss modification. Okay. So. Okay. I can add something. The reason why I put the potential phi is that at late time, this potential will stabilize phi in a minimum. And so you don't have a fifth force problem.
Because that was the problem with extended inflation, right?
That was one problem, but it was a minor problem. The biggest problem was the spectral index. Okay. Now, let's see the early time evolution of this system. So by early time, I mean before tunneling. So before tunneling, as I said, I can neglect the potential by assumption, and that's the dynamical Lagrangian that I have to consider. Now, what will happen is the following. I start with a field, phi, close to zero, which means that I can choose this combination to be much smaller than n. Okay? If this is true, we get exponential inflation, because this term is negligible, and so you just have Einstein gravity plus the cosmological constant. Okay, then what happens is that phi in this background is unstable due to this effective mass term, because r during inflation is large, and so phi starts to grow. When phi is big enough that it's close to m, so square root of beta times phi is close to m, so this term is of the same order of this term, then you have a transition to power law expansion. I will show you with the equations why this is the case. And finally, so since you have power law expansion, h is no more a constant, but it's decreasing as 1 over t, where t is time. And so at some point, it can become equal to the tunneling rate. And when this happens, you have grace flex. So the idea is quite simple. So just to show you the equations, this is the Friedman equation. So as you see, there is a kinetic energy for the field phi. There is a false vacuum energy. Then there is a correction here, which is due to the minimal coupling. And then another correction is present here. And the reason is that the effective black mass is not m squared, but it's this computation.
Presumably you don't want phi to bound to m too quickly. So there's some, is phi in effect doing a slow Hall process?
In some sense, yes. The quickness, the speed depends on beta.
Yes, can you say
it's better to be small enough? Yeah. So, in fact, the equation of motion for phi, it has a driving term which is proportional to beta and r. So, if beta is not too big, it can grow, but we will see quantitatively later. So, now, as I said.
Why is this different than hybrid inflation that, except at the end, you don't go through a second order based on this?
For example, there you have a direct coupling between two fields, right? while in this scenario there is no coupling.
If you go to the Einstein plane,
yes, if you go to the Einstein plane, you get coupling, universal coupling to all fields, right? But so now, as I said, I will assume that the field phi should be close to zero at the beginning, so you can neglect this term, you can neglect this term, and this. So you just get h squared equal to lambda to the fourth of m squared, which is trivial. And in this situation, the Ricci scalar is equal to hi, where by I mean during this initial phase, square. So you can just substitute this in this equation, and it becomes a very simple equation. And the solution is exponentially growing solution. So you have some initial value, and then an exponential instability. And the exponent depends on beta. So in the limit of small beta, you see the exponent is exactly beta times the constant. Now let's talk about what is the phi zero, the initial condition that I am assuming. As I said, I'm assuming phi zero to be small, so close to zero. Now, how small can I assume it to be? Well, I claim that the minimal value, or the most reasonable value, is just given by quantum fluctuations in the De Sitter background. So the initial value, phi zero, will be of order hi. Now, what are the justifications for this? Well, on the one hand, this I think seems the most natural choice, because we are not putting by hand the value, but it's just given by quantum fluctuations. And on the other hand, one can take a different attitude. So if I start from a random distribution of this value phi zero, random distribution in space, then this means that, as we see, regions with small phi zero, they inflate more. And so this means that at the end they will overwhelm the universe. So it's natural to be in a region where phi zero was small in this attitude. Okay, now let's go to late time behavior instead. So since phi is growing, when phi becomes larger than m, something happens. And in fact, the equation of motion are this one. So here, instead of having the combination, we can neglect m squared, because phi is much larger. And in general, the Ricci scalar is equal to this combination. Now, the solution is not difficult to find. It's a scale factor goes like power law, and phi grows linearly. Okay, so in fact, this is a numerical solution of the equations. So as you see, you have constant h, and then at some point it decreases, and it asymptotically goes like the power law. The red line is the power law. So this h is a function of time. So now, as I said, I repeat, crucially, well, now this is a scenario. Now there is an important thing. So for a phenomenology, the relevant thing is that if I plot, so there I have this graph, right? So here I have time and age. Now let's put gamma here. When h is equal to gamma, you have here exit. And from here, afterwards, you have radiation era. So as we know, we need roughly some 60 epochs before the end of the radiation era. So now what I'm saying is that if this phase here is short enough, then the cosmological perturbations are produced starting from here up to this point. Because one has to keep in mind that what we see in the CMB and the large state structure is just a very restricted value of ranges. which is something like 5, 10 equals. So it is sufficient that you have a flat spectrum here. It's not necessary to have a flat spectrum there. So this corresponds to the horizon scale today, and this corresponds to some megaparsec. So crucially, we need this phase two to be short enough.
So it's true you have density perturbations during your original phase, but I thought one of the problems with extended inflation is the bubbles you end up forming, they coalesce as you exit. But if they don't coalesce sufficiently quickly, then basically the energy stored in there in the wall is also to density perturbations.
Yeah. So there is,
and I thought that was a constraint on the the density parameter precisely.
There is a constraint which says that this phase has to be steep. Okay, qualitatively, if the phase is not steep enough, suppose that you are here, right?
Right.
So here H is larger than gamma, but not so large. Okay, so you still have some finite probability of nucleating a bubble. And if you nucleate a bubble here on this scale, it will appear on the CMB. Well, actually no. So if this scale is a large scale, okay, so when you look at the CMB sky, you will see a bubble, you will see a void, but we don't see that. So that's the constraint.
So you want
this to be very steep.
But isn't that related to data being effectively large?
It is, but...
Because you said you wanted... So that's the problem I have. You started... Exactly. The beta was very small, so you had 60 people.
I'll come to that. Exactly to this point. So now, H has to decrease rapidly, exactly what I was saying. When H is equal to gamma to the 1/4, we have graceful exit. And then this problem that Justin was talking about is called the large bubble, big bubbles problem. And the thing is that this thing has to be steep, and so it is translated in our scenario that H here has to be much larger than gamma. How large? Well, this can be computed, and you need some 10 to minus 7. So you need here H to decrease of H to the 4th has to decrease of 7 orders of magnitude. Okay. This is H. So here H has to be equal to gamma, and here it has to be bigger than this factor times gamma. Okay. Now, what is the difference with extended inflation? So let's come to this point. The difference is that they didn't have this term, the usual Einstein-Hilbert term. So if you don't have that term, you are always in the phase where phi is larger than n. So you just have the only power law phase. So what extended inflation had is just this phase, so which is like that. Okay. So if you want this phase to be steep, then you will see that also. So as I said, it has to decrease fast. And but COVID discovered flat spectrum. So if you want this behavior to be the same on all scales, then when you produce the fluctuations here, you don't have a flat spectrum, but you have a tilted spectrum.
So completely understand. So if I don't have the m squared term, then it's really like extended inflation, which means it's really purely grand speaking.
Purely
it's only the beta phi squared.
That's right.
But when you go with the m squared, it's no longer purely grand
speaking. Yeah, in some sense, yeah.
So there was an idea, so it's Steinhardt, I think, later on, he came up with, they called it hyperextended.
I know, but so hyperextended inflation was a framework to have a more general function that multiplies R.
Right, exactly.
And in this sense, this model is included, in some sense, in that modification, but they never really pointed out the possibility of having an exponential phase. What they try to do is to have a Pavlov phase which changes of slow. It changes slow, but I think it's much simpler to have exponential phase. For some reason, nobody has considered this possibility. And also, I think a nice thing is that you get this change of behavior dynamically. You don't have to put it by hand. It's the field which grows during the exponential phase.
So, to what extent does your result depend on that sort of functional form? I mean, you were talking about general functions, but you know, if I put an exponential in there, that would start at a constant.
Okay, so there is that's a very good question. And in fact, so as I was stressing here, this is just a starting Lagrangian, but then I will generalize to the most general problem. Okay. For several reasons. But before doing that, I just want to stress what happens after inflation. You have in mind all the picture. So after inflation, what happens is that many bubbles of true vacuum are nucleated. They collide, they produce radiation. So if I assume instantaneous thermalization, this is what gives me the heating temperature. But the nice thing is that during radiation, phi doesn't evolve. Practically doesn't evolve because R is almost zero. So what happens is that phi stops during radiation. And so that's the reason why I call here, instead of putting M, I put M plus. Because I'm assuming now that after the tunneling, phi doesn't move anymore. So the value. So this combination m squared plus beta phi squared, when phi is stabilized to a final value, it's the Planck mass today. But now there is unfortunately this is not so simple because one still needs to stabilize phi at late time. And the reason is that first of all this phi would mediate its force. Even if it is stable. And second is that after when matter becomes dominant, then phi would restart moving again. So that's the reason why we need to introduce a potential. As I said, the potential doesn't play any role in the initial phase, but you have to put it at late time to get the correct phenomenology. So that was a problem also for extended inflation, but as you see, it's not a big problem because you can fix things at late time just by introducing a potential. So as I said, I assume to be irrelevant, and then any potential with a minimum is okay. So now we'll make another assumption, nonetheless, for reasons that will be clear later. So we assume this potential. We don't want to put by hand the location of the minimum in the field space. So the only way to do it is that, for example, to have a periodic potential. And in particle physics, you get periodic potential for axion fields, for example. So this is something which has to be investigated.
So I have a question. So if you say now my field has stopped somewhere and I have a minimum, yeah. And then at some point later the evolution is going to roll and whenever the curvature becomes important, mm-hmm. roll. Is there a worry that as it oscillates now,
it's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. Of course, you have to.
It can't be too far off,
right? It can be too far off, or for example, the mass has to be large enough so the field can decay later on. This oscillation can decay. Like in the moduli problem, if the mass of the moduli is large enough, you don't have a moduli problem because they can decay before nucleosynthesis. But that's a very good point. So what I'm saying is that the potential U of phi, something like that. So if phi, this is value, the value phi f, then it just as adjusting stress, the field will relax to the minimum, will stop in the minimum after some oscillation. In general, we don't need exactly periodicity, but we need minima everywhere. because we don't want to put to choose one minimum by hand. So as I said, if phi is a minimum with a sufficiently large mass, you are safe from the constraints. Okay, now let's go now to a more general Lagrangian. What is the motivation for having a more general Lagrangian? Motivation is, there is a theoretical motivation. So let's say that M is the fundamental scale of the theory. Right? So in some sense, this is a cutoff scale of the theory. Then this means that the full theory can have operators higher order. So this operator can be there, phi cube over n, phi to the fourth over n squared, with coefficients that, in general, we expect them to be order 1. So that's an issue. Because when phi becomes large, all these operators become important. So now the question is this good or bad for our models? So the way to answer this question is to include this operator, and to see what happens. So what we do is to generalize this thing in this way. We multiply R by a generic function of phi, which can include all these higher order operators. Now, for phi much smaller than m, we can stick to the previous assumption, because all the higher order are irrelevant. And for phi larger than m, well, we have to do some assumption now. So what I claim is that if f of phi grows larger than phi squared, then we have a viable model. In fact, what happens is that if this condition is realized, then the transition here in this phase, this transition is very steep, and it's even decelerated. It's not even accelerated. So if you plot h as a function of n, this is really steep if you meet this condition here. And this is independent, so I will show you how, but this is independent of the exact form of f. You just need this assumption. So a very broad class of functions can satisfy this assumption.
What do you assume for u of phi?
Okay, u of phi is the same as before. But as I said, that is not playing a role during this evolution, but only at later.
But if the fundamental scale is n, would you expect phi to have a minimum around n?
Yeah, that is a good question. I will need some. How can I say? I will need the overall scale of U to be smaller than M. There is some tuning. There is some tuning to do. So we have no large bubbles problem if this is true. If this is true. Now, yes.
Can you go back? For small phi, you drop the linear term. Is there a reason?
There is no reason. It's just for the sake of discussing a model. But if you include a linear term, it doesn't change much. You just, instead of putting a constraint on beta phi square, you will put a constraint on beta phi or some other parameter. But the picture is exactly the same, or a cubic term is the same. Okay, so now a question that people often ask is, can you trust a theory with phi much larger than m, with field value which is larger than your fundamental scale? Now, as people in cosmology know, this is an issue already for the chaotic inflation scenario, which is the simplest slow roll inflation model. And as one can see in papers by Linde, for example, the correction due to radical loops to the potential in chaotic inflation, they don't go as phi over n, so they don't spoil the potential. They don't go as phi to the n, as phi over n to the power n, but they just go as the energy, as some energy scale over n. And in our scenario, all the energy scales are below n. No energy scale is bigger than m. So one can understand this physically, because physically it's not phi who has meaning, but it's the energy density or mass. So So just to clarify a point which many people are worried about. Now let's see how.
But that only tells you that the. Well, I mean, the minimum requirement for this is. Well, I mean, usually write that f of phi is some arbitrary function of phi over n.
Yeah.
Which your disnormalization reserves this answer, say, hey, well. Mm-hmm. Maintaining that it goes. Well, I mean, starting with having a model that goes like phi squared at large beds.
Mm-hmm.
Is suspicious, right? Having any function f of phi go like phi squared. I mean, it's true that this is, you could argue, is technically natural, but it's suspicious to start with and computing the normalization.
Right, but what I'm saying is that I don't need, for example, a quadratic behavior for phi larger than n. I just need, there is a requirement which includes a very broad class of functions, growing faster than phi squared. An exponential, any power law which is faster than phi or whatever. So it's up to you to consider this natural or not. So anyway, now to show that this is, I want to show that the expansion is decelerated independently of the form of phi. Now we go to Einstein frame, which is the simplest thing to do. So if you go to an Einstein frame, the gravity part of the action is the canonical one. But you get a function of phi multiplying the kinetic term. And also, a function of phi will multiply the vacuum energy lambda to the fourth. Okay? Now I will tell you what are k is. So k is well known to be function of f of this form. And the term lambda to the fourth, and now it's multiplied by a function of phi, so it becomes a potential for phi, as you were pointing out. But it's a kind of strange potential because it disappears completely when after tunneling, because lambda goes to zero. Right? Now, for phi smaller than m, we can expand this function in a power series. Actually, I discussed n equal to 2, but as I said, it works similarly also with other powers. If you do that, okay, instead the factor of 1 is crucial, because otherwise you will go back to the external inflation. You only have power law. Now, so in this approximation, what you get is a canonically normalized field in canonically gravity with a potential. So, and this potential looks like a slow roll on top of you. You start from phi, for small phi, you have slow roll condition. If, okay, I forgot the factor of beta here, probably. But if beta is small, you have a flat. Okay, so you can do slow roll approximation in this scenario. And slow roll approximation, you can compute the slow roll parameters, the duration of inflation. And you will see that the small beta is required. So if you want epsilon and eta to be small, and if you want the number of equals to be large, you need small beta. Then when phi is over the m, you have end of slow roll, and you go to the other phase, which is the interesting phase for us. That's why we introduced f of phi. Now, if f of phi grows larger than phi squared, then you can neglect this term, this one. So k, the function that multiplies the kinetic term, is just the square of the logarithmic derivative. And the potential is, as I said, is lambda to the fourth over f squared. So now you can introduce a canonical variable. And the canonical variable is related to f just by log. If you do that, you substitute here, you get the potential, which is exponential. And as you see, it doesn't depend on the form of f. So the only point where the form of f is important is to neglect this term. Once you neglect that, the potential does not depend on f anymore. So what you get in the Einstein frame is you get always the expansion which goes like t to the 3, 4. So it's always a decelerated expansion. five rows, you can, one can show that, and you reach the end of the phase when h squared is equal to gamma to the 1. H squared is just the potential of the field phi in this frame. And so from this equation, very simple, you can find out what is the final value of f of phi. That's important for the second part of the talk. So as you see, f of phi is very large if gamma is very small. If the tunneling rate is very suppressed, you get a very large value of f of phi. Okay, now let's go to the second part of the talk. I want to stress that this can be a solution to the hierarchy problem. What is the hierarchy problem? This is a very small introduction. It seems that we observe two fundamental scales in nature, or at least two. One is the electroweak scale, the other one is the Planck scale. And their ratio is very large, or very small. So the question is why? Now, why we want to know that is that, well, first of all, we all hope, I think, that a deeper comprehension of physics should lead with a theory with a single scale, just one scale. Then another question is, do we expect new physics to appear before the Planck scale, or just on the Planck scale or the Gauss scale? So this is very important for experimental reasons. The third question is a question of naturalness. So the Higgs mass is quadratically sensitive to the cutoff scale. So why the cutoff scale? So if we assume our theories to be correct up to the Planck scale, the Higgs mass seems very, very, very light, and nobody knows how to justify that without, apart from some popular solution which are already present. One is to have some supersymmetry color at weak scale. And in this way, you make Higgs mass insensitive to the Planck mass. Another one is to have large extra dimensions. And in this way, you take the fundamental scale to be the electroweak scale, for example, and you explain that gravity is much weaker because it's diluted by extra dimensions. Or the warped extra dimension, in which the ratio between the two scales, electroweak and Planck scale, is explained through an exponential. So our solution is, in some sense, is similar to the last one, because we explain the ratio of these two scales through an exponential. It's a bit different, because our proposal provides a large ratio, Planck over electroweak, at a late time, but not at early time. So the picture is the following. You have here the electroweak and M, which are starting close. And at late time, they get separated a lot. Okay. Now, we still need some hierarchy at early time. So here, these two are not equal. We still need a 10 to the 3 hierarchy. I will explain you why this number 10 to the 3. Okay, let's see what are the scales in the problem. There are many scales in this problem. One is the scale lambda, which is the vacuum energy. The other one is the amplitude of the potential. Third one is the scale of the matter Lagrangian, which is the electroweak scale. And the fourth one is the scale of gravity during inflation, which is M. So the assumption is to assume all the scales to be closed up to this factor 10 to the 3. Then, as I said, this is good because all the quantum corrections are cut off at this scale, because this is assumed to be a fundamental scale. So up to the factor of 10 to the 3, all the scales are stable. And then dynamically you get this large separation. Now, this factor of 10 to the 3, if we wanted to discuss it, we still need the M to be somewhat larger than lambda in U to the 1/4. So the picture is here you have m, and here you have lambda and u to the 1/4. And there is a separation of 10 to the 3. So on the one hand, this is good because you can use classical GR. It's still OK. Because we are working at scales which are smaller than n. Then the number 10 to the 3, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the normalization of the amplitude of the spectrum of cosmological perturbations. We'll show you this later. Now, in this framework, there are two possibilities to explore. One is that M is the electroweak scale. So the first possibility is that this one is the electroweak scale, and the other one are somewhat suppressed. Yes?
Sorry, before you go further, in your scenario, didn't you also need a separation between U and lambda?
Yeah, there is some separation, but it's not needed to be 10 to the 3, for example. There is some separation.
How big did you want that
separation? I think one of the remaining ones. It's not a big tuning, so I assume them to be roughly the same. Okay, so in this case, if m is electroweak scale, then the other two have to be somewhat smaller. And well, we still have to explain this, so we are still thinking about it. But maybe for example u can be an axion. If it is an axion, it can have an amplitude of the order of lambda QCD, which is exactly three orders of magnitude below the TV scale. So maybe this, I'm not claiming we have solved it, but maybe this is one thing. The other thing is that instead you assume this to be the electroweak scale. And for some reason, M is larger. Well, this, on the one hand, is good because quantum corrections will keep the potential stable. The other hand, we have to explain why M is larger. I think but this reminds me of something that happens in string theory, for example, where you have flat scale and string scale, and they are not always the same. They can be separated by a factor of. Sometimes the string scale can be effectively, depending on the compactification and so on. So this is to be explored. Okay, so now let's see how we explain Large and Planck. Well, it's clear for what we have done, and Planck is equal to m times f of phi. So since f of phi is very large, as we showed, the ratio goes like 1 over the square root of f of phi, and this goes like basically the electroweak scale over gamma. So if gamma is very, very small, you need a large separation. Now, it seems that we have introduced another hierarchy between gamma and m, but it's not. It's not a fine tuning. Because even in a very natural potential, something like that, gamma can be very easily 10 to the minus 20 times the scale of the potential. Because it's suppressed exponentially by the barrier. So it's not a tuning. So this is a new kind of solution. We start with a small hierarchy and we get a very large hierarchy. And so gravity is stronger at every time and weaker at today. So finally we go to the constraints, to the cosmology. Okay, so maybe I skip this technical detail. This slide shows that in order to solve the horizon problem, you need in this framework something like 50 equals, but when I count to the equals, now it's starting from here. So you need 50 equals of this space. The reason why it's 50 and not 65 or 70 is that you have a repeated temperature of the order of the TV, and also there is this additional phase that redshifts the scale a little bit. So it's not the usual 60. Now let's go to cosmological perturbations. They're very simple to consider. For example, one can study them in the original frame, but it's more complicated. one could think that the spectrum is exactly flat because H is exactly constant, but actually the field is not minimally coupled, so the spectrum is not exactly flat. Same thing in the outer frame, we have a potential, so the spectrum is not exactly flat. So the simplest way is to study the system in the outer frame, because the equations are already done. We have checked also in the other frame. You use the familiar equation for the spectral index and for the amplitude. So what we get is the following. The spectral index is equal to 1 minus 8 beta. So beta is to be, 8 beta is to be smaller than 0.1, roughly. And if you take this 8 beta smaller than 0.1, then you get also enough inflation. So that's the requirement of beta. Instead, the amplitude of the spectrum will fix the ratio between H and M, and times this factor which takes into account the evolution of the field. But so a reasonable choice of parameters is beta 10 to minus 2 and the ratio of the two scales 10 to minus 3. So this is why we have a 10 to minus 3 separation here. And then you also expect probably to see some red field because we don't want this beta to be extremely small. So probably from the future experiment in this model we expect to see some red field. Finally, let's go to some experimental signatures of the model. I think this is very, very interesting because so we know that here reheating is proceeding through bubble collision. Now, it is known, it has been studied in the 90s by all these people here, that this produces a lot of relative gravitational waves because these bubbles represent the large density contrast. So it produces a peak, a spectrum which is peaked. So what you see basically is something like if you have the frequency here and the amplitude, you will see something like that. And the peak is the horizon scale at reheating. Now, in our model, the horizon scale is set is exactly equal to lambda. Roughly, what is that? So if lambda is some PV, then the peak is 0.1 millihertz. And the Lisa sensitivity is something like that, which is exactly in the same range. So, and the amplitude of the peak is also big enough to be detectable. So basing on these papers, I found that the amplitude is over the 10 to minus 7, while the sensitivity is four orders of magnitude below. So you should clearly see.
Nucleosynthesis?
Well, the reheating is happening at TV.
No, I meant the relic gravitational waves.
Oh, yes, because the nucleosynthesis bound is 10 to minus 5. Yeah. Okay, and instead, if we take the point of view of having the fundamental scale, this one to be the TEV, then the lambda is a GEV, some GEV. So in this case, it's much harder to see because the peak appears to be a 10 to minus 4 millihertz. So at least for Lisa, it's much harder to see. But in general, the amplitude is still peak, it's still the same. It's just a peak location of this movie. And a third possibility is that, okay, this model maybe doesn't solve the hierarchy problem, but it just gives inflation. So if it just gives inflation, lambda can be anything. So we can even have higher frequencies. So one can even hope to see this at the interferometers on Earth. LIGO, Virgo, Stama.
But so the normal gravity wave that you've seen the CMB is suppressed completely in your case because it's a TUV reheating? Is that true? I was a little surprised because in your delta rho over rho from scalars, you had the scale of the perturbations with H divided by M,
yeah,
which is effectively like a time scale of perturbation.
H divided by M. Yeah, it's the ratio of the vacuum energy divided by the gravity of the scale, right?
So you expect also the, some significant fraction of gravity waves for V mode?
Ah, okay, you mean generated yeah. Quantum gravitational during. Yeah. Well, that's the same prediction that you have from the usual models. So it depends, it really depends on the separation between these two scales. So we are not claiming anything new in that sector, but there is an additional peak at the reheating scale. Because the reheating is very turbulent, producing bubbles. So from the point of view of particle physics, what do we expect from LHC if the scale is there, if the cutoff scale is there? Well, actually, we expect only very generic things, so to see a new scale. So the appearance of higher order operators. What does it mean exactly? We are not making any claim on this, but we expect to see a new scale. The nice thing is that this new scale can eventually be related to the scale seen by LISA, because if you measure the peak, you can relate to the same scale. So you can connect in a non-trivial way some very different experiments. One is the gravitational waves, the other one is particle physics, and the third one is spectral index. As I said, you need a slightly red spectral index. Okay, finally, this is an additional thing. Maybe the same mechanism can explain other tunings. So we know that the physics has many tunings, not only this one. At late time, well, there is a way to solve these other tunings. Because if you have this large function, you can in principle use it for any other tuning. And how do you do that? Well, just couple to phi the operators that you want to be enhanced or suppressed. For example, if we want a large right-handed neutrino mass, we just have to couple to phi. And since phi is drawn to very large values, we'll get large neutrino mass. This is an example. Another example is a potential term like this. It will give you 10 to the minus 120 without putting a number so small in the Lagrangian. But this is just an example. I'm not claiming this is a solution. So you can do the same for any quantity, basically, at a late time. So conclusions. So my conclusion are the following. So we added one field, phi, and with this field we provided inflation from a false vacuum. We provided a graceful exit for this. We provided a correct spectrum of perturbations under this assumption. So beta smaller than 10 to minus 2 and lambda over n 10 to minus 3. We propose a new way to solve the hierarchy problem. The cutoff is a TV scale now. Maybe a way for solving other tunings. And finally, the proposal is testable by LISA. It will certainly test the TV reheating model. Will confirm it or rule it out. For this GV reheating, I don't know. I don't think it will be sensitive. Finally, a remark is that anyway, this is an inflationary model which has an additional prediction, which is this peak that other inflationary models don't have. Thank you.
Any questions? So the second point there, you got that from choosing a spectral index of 0.9 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is that something we can see is going to have to get adjusted in the near future? Can I expect the observations of NS to be improved?
Of course, yes. It will be improved, hopefully, by WMAP and Planck.
Right.
And so this will mean that either you detect a red tilt, either you put a stronger limit on beta.
So if I start making beta smaller, does that ratio also get smaller? Is that how?
Yeah, somewhat related, but not in a very sensitive way. You're going to have beta max 10 to minus 3 and lambda over n. It's not changing much. Yeah, I don't know exactly, I cannot tell you exactly, but they are somewhat related. Because the amplitude doesn't depend only on the ratio, but it, there is also beta in the amplitude. But it's not a trivial function, so.
The hierarchy splitting between the scales m and lambda was reduced at the surface of last scattering from the COBE data. So if you went back in time before the surface of last scattering, is it possible that those two scales would approach each other, or would they?
Okay, these two scales have to be separated by this amount if you want to reproduce delta phi over p 10 to minus 5, right? And this is happening during inflation. So if before inflation they can approach even more, I don't know, maybe yes. But for sure, during inflation, in this model, they can't. Otherwise, you produce too much delta phi over p. Delta phi over p becomes larger than 10 to minus 5.
So where would you put the surface of last scattering on this picture?
Well, here.
Another question. I didn't quite follow. I think there was an interaction between you and Justin that explained this. But you got lambda over n being lambda over m being 10 to the minus 3. So Hubble over m is 10 to the minus 6. So
right.
What does that tell me about gravitational waves produced during inflation?
Okay.
On the
well, yeah. The gravitational waves, the amplitude of the gravitational waves during inflation is just given by h over n.
So so up to numbers, you're at 10 to the minus 6. So is that good or bad?
It's, well, okay.
It's
the same thing that happens in any other model of inflation. So depending on this ratio, you can observe it or not. So. If you take exactly 10 to minus 3, probably you will see something. But if it is 10 to minus 4, then probably you don't see anything. So
well, you actually have 10 to the minus 6, right?
Yeah. Square of this.
Right.
In some sense. Yeah.
But does that mean we're not observing them? I didn't quite follow.
OK. I'm just saying that this ratio gives the amplitude. And depending on the ratio lambda over n, you can see it or not. But so I don't have any theoretical motivation to say you will see it or not. It's exactly like this.
I think it's a question. Yes, so if I'm not mistaken, it really looks like single field, right, as far as those perturbations are concerned. So
exactly. In the Einstein frame, it's a single field.
So you expect the same prediction. 10% of gravitational waves in the CMB, right?
Depending on this. Unfortunately, okay, I see your question now. Because you are telling me this is fixed by the scalar perturbations, and so you will predict.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, the interesting thing in your other model is you have a very low reheating temperature, and yet a very large fraction of gravity waves can be expected in the background.
Yes. So yes, it's a good question. I actually don't know exactly the numbers, because I think this is exactly the same that happens in any other single field model of inflation. So once I reconstruct it immediately, but like that, I don't know the numbers.
And the last, for the second last bullet, when you say it's testable,
yes.
I mean, if it's a TeV scale,
if it's a TeV, but otherwise,
if it's higher or lower, then the peaks moves.
It peaks moves, right? So it can be like that, or it can be like that. So if it is like that, then there are LIGO, VIRGO, right? But their sensitivity, I don't know if it is high enough. If it is like that, then unfortunately there is no experiment to test exactly. But maybe something can be seen. I don't know, I haven't worked out the details. Maybe it can be just in the border. The nice thing is that if this PV is exactly the middle.
Right. Okay.
Big Bang Observer, I think it's here. I think it's here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions? Let's thank you.